The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
Last week, while I was presenting God's Word, surprisingly, I ran out of time. Because when I got speaking to you, I noticed some were getting a little edgy, and two of you fell asleep. I won't say which two. But so I want to finish this. Remember, we've been sharing from God's book, the Bible. We have been sharing this idea, this truth. It's all through the Bible, everywhere. This truth that there's much that takes place beyond what we see with the naked eye. We see a lot of things happening in this world just by observing, by going on the internet, by going watching the television. There's many, many ways by which we are fed some of the events that are happening in this world today. And some, of course, the events that we're that are fed us on television or whatever, some of them are true, some of them are not true, some of them are kind of nuanced in ways that maybe they shouldn't be. But when we read the Bible, we find out that there's some cosmic conflicts that have taken place. Did you hear what I said? According to God's Word, there's some events that have taken place beyond what the naked eye can see, and they affect planet Earth. Now, do you agree with that? Just think it over for a moment. Do you think that some of the things that we observe on Earth, planet Earth, globe, do you think that some of the things that we see are affected by spiritual entities, spiritual realities? Well, that's what the Scripture tells us. God created Lucifer as a beautiful, musical, wise archangel. And instead of Lucifer just following what God had for him, he decided to rebel. So Lucifer rebelled against God, and he was cast out of his position in heaven. And because he was cast out of his position in heaven, there was conflict and continues to be on earth. So Lucifer rebelled. Then the serpent came into the Garden of Eden and tempted Adam, and tempted who? Eve. And God had to intervene in that situation. Because every time God does something good, the enemy will come along and try to destroy it. Amen? It almost seems where there's harmony, that the enemy will come and try to divide. So therefore, there was a fall of Adam. You and I are sinners. We do things we shouldn't do. We think things we shouldn't think. We leave things undone that we should have done. So we are sinners. The Bible says all have sinned. That includes me, includes you. So therefore, we needed a Savior. So just before Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, according to Genesis, just before Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, God gave them a promise. One day somebody would come. Back in those days, he was called the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman. There is somebody going to come that's going to be given birth to by a lady, and this somebody is going to bring us back in fellowship with God. That somebody we know is Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. Believe that? Jesus was born of a virgin. Just think that over periodically. Jesus was born of a virgin. His mother was Mary, but he had no human father. The angel said, "You shall conceive, and this one shall be conceived of the Holy Spirit." Very unusual. Never happened before, never will happen again. Because Jesus is unique, born of a virgin. And when Jesus was born, beautiful in the Bethlehem barn, somebody said, it really was better for Jesus to be born and placed in the barn, born in the barn, than in the inns, because the inns back in those days, you know, were pretty rugged. So maybe the hay in the barn or the cave was better than anything. But we'll leave that alone today. But when Jesus was born in that cave or that barn, they put him in the little manger. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. But something else happened in the city. Every time God does something good, the enemy will come and try to destroy it. He's a divider of people. He's the father of lies, Jesus said. So what happened is Herod, remember King Herod? He got so upset that he had every baby 2 years old and younger murdered in Bethlehem because he was trying to get rid of Jesus and couldn't find Jesus. So there was that conflict. Always seems to be that way. But thank God, one day God sent his son into the world, born in this Bethlehem setting, and Jesus lived for 30 plus years. We're not sure how long, 30, 31, 32, 33. Jesus lived a perfect life. He was God's promised person. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ went up the streets of Jerusalem, and his body was placed on that tree, that cross. They put the spikes in his hands, they put the spikes in his feet, and Jesus Christ was crucified, hung on that cross. In what looked like a defeat, it looked like the devil won, but what looked like a defeat really was a victory. Because Jesus Christ carried all of our sins that day on the cross on our behalf. Peter, one of the earlier followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, said he carried our sins on his tree, on that tree that day. The Lord took our place, substitute. And then remember, day one passed, day two passed, but remember Jesus said, he said to his disciples, he said to whoever would listen to him, on the third day I shall what? I shall rise again. Day one passes, day two passes, he's still in the tomb. But on day three, when the ladies went to anoint the dead body, the great stone had been what? Rolled away. And one of the ladies thought, who stole the body of our Lord? And the angel said, no one stole his body. He was here, but he's not here any longer. He has risen from the dead. Amen? He has risen from the dead. So we have a living Savior, and we sang about him today. Now, what I would like to just kind of bring to our attention this morning is Revelation chapter 12. So if you have a Bible, it's the last book of the Bible. I've said to you before, when you read the book of Revelation, it talks more about spiritual warfare than almost anything else. You see, many of the battles that take place on earth, and in many pockets of the world today, there's huge conflict, a great loss of life, great disappointment, great heartache. And the book of Revelation kind of pulls back the curtain and says, here are some of the reasons why there's conflict in planet Earth today. So Revelation chapter 12. Now, you need to study this on your own, and I encourage you to take the book of Revelation. It's not an easy book to understand. It has a lot of imagery. It has a lot of visions. But the Lord said if you will read this book, he will help you to understand. So when you go home sometime this week, begin to read Revelation. It's the only book in the Bible, and by the way, there's 66 books here. It's the only book in the Bible that says if you read it, you will be blessed. Isn't that interesting? It's the only book that says, literally, right to chapter 1, if you read this, you will be blessed. So I encourage you to read Revelation. Like I've said before, I've read this book. I've read the back of the book, and we win. And you know what I mean by that? When you read this, you understand that the time will come in which the people of God will be rescued and blessed by the Lord. A lot of conflict here now, but one day all conflict will cease. And the Lord will reign supreme. So we come to Revelation chapter 12. And I want especially to look at, let me see here. I want especially to look at verses 10, 11, and 12. I'm going to just see if I can work my little gadget here. I'm still not sure of this one. I'm learning this, by the way. Let me see if we can get it. Next one. Okay, let's look on this. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Look what it says. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. Revelation chapter 12 tells us that one day the devil, the enemy of humanity, one day the devil, his name is Lucifer, Dragon, Satan, he's got several names. They're all names that tell about his evil character. But one day, the enemy of humanity will no longer be able to go into the presence of God and accuse humanity. That's what's happening today. We read it in the oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job. It's the oldest book. We read it in the book of Job that when the angels of God come into the presence of God, the accuser of the brethren, that's what he's called. The devil, the accuser of the brethren, goes into the presence of God and he accuses God's people. May I just be personal today? It's like this. The devil still has the freedom, I believe, to go into the presence of God and say to God, did you notice Les Summers? By the way, that's who I am. Reverend Doctor to you, but Reverend Doctor, just Les Summers. Pastor Les. I used to be called Reverend Summers. I used to be called Dr. Summers. I used to be called Pastor Leslie. I used to be called Pastor Summers. Now I'm Pastor Les. Another couple of months, I'll be Les. But you see, the enemy can go into the presence of Almighty God today, according to the book of Job, and say, look at Les Summers. Did you see how he disobeyed you this week? He thinks he's something, but he's really not. Do you see what he thought that he shouldn't have thought? Do you see what he did he shouldn't have? You see what I'm saying? The enemy can still go into the presence and accuse the people of God. But thank God, the Lord always comes in on our behalf and says, oh, I know all about Les Summers. But you know something? He's been to the cross. He believes that my son died for the sins of humanity. He's already been to the empty tomb, no body there, because just as the Lord said, he said, I will rise on the third day. And Christ became alive. Do you believe that? On the third day. So he says to the enemy, Les is covered by the blood of Christ. Les is robed by the righteousness of Christ. He's mine and I'm his. And you know what happens? The devil backs off. So today, the devil can come and into the presence of God and accuse us, but the day is going to come. I believe this is future. A future conflict. I believe the day is going to come, and it's in Revelation chapter 12, that God puts the devil down to planet Earth. He makes it so that the devil can no longer accuse us. So he's confined to Earth. Let me ask you this question. If the enemy of humanity is confined to a limited battlefield, do you think it's going to be rough here for a while? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And there's going to come a period of time, I don't know if we're close to it or not. Sometimes I think maybe we are, because of the horrendous turmoils on planet Earth. But we don't know the day or the hour. But there's going to come a time just before the second advent of Christ. This, we are celebrating today, the first advent, Christ coming into this world 2,000 years ago. But Jesus said, I will go back to the Father, but one day I shall what? I shall come again. And I believe that with all of my heart, that the one who came the first time is going to come the second time. And I personally, as I study the Bible, I don't believe there's going to be universal peace on this globe until the Prince of Peace comes, Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm coming back again, and just before the return of the Lord, there's going to be an intense period of turmoil on planet Earth. Maybe we are getting a taste of it now. It's almost like it's going to get dark before it gets bright. It's like the darkness of the day before the sunshine comes up. I live right downtown here in Fort McMurray. We did live up in Timberley. But just 3 days before the fire broke out, we moved down. You know, we're all kind of excited. New condominium, and we're up five stories, although I'm nervous of heights. Ardith, my wife, goes out on the balcony. I don't. Well, I sneak out and sneak back in again. And so we moved down, and then 3 days later, the fire came. Now, we have a wonderful view every morning when the sun rises. We look out the balcony, and that's the east, right? And we look at it, and it's beautiful. And the sun creeps up after the darkness of the day. Just before the Lord comes back again to this planet, The Bible says it's going to be a period of darkness, and then the Son of Morning shall arise. The Morning Star, he's called, shall arise. But just before that, there's going to be some conflict. And I want to remind you of this in verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of God." One day God shall reign on this earth. I believe literally, reign on this earth. No more tears, no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more fight, no more battles, no more conflicts, no more war, no more death. The kingdom of God shall come one day. And he shall completely renovate this globe. It says here, "For the accuser of our brethren and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night." And watch this. In the pressure cooker of the period of time before Christ returns, God's people are going to be able to overcome the enemy by three ways. And I want to talk about those three ways. How do we overcome the enemy? Here's what it says in Revelation chapter 12. "And they defeated him by," let's say those words please, "the blood of the" what? "Lamb. And they defeated him by" their what? "By their testimony." What does it mean here in verse 11? "And they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony." The blood of the Lamb. You know Old Testament days, right? Before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were these sacrifices made, particularly in the Middle East, and it began in the Garden of Eden. But there were sacrifices made of lambs and goats and bullocks and sheep. You know, they would take these animals. By the way, listen to me. These animals were innocent. These animals were innocent. They didn't do anything wrong. It is you and I that need the atonement. It's you and I need a remedy for our sin issue. So what God instituted from the Garden of Eden on, God said you need to take a sacrifice, a lamb or whatever, had to be a special lamb, as pure as possible, and take this lamb and offer this lamb as a sacrifice to the holy God so that our sins might be atoned for, our sins might be remedied. So that's what they used to do. They'd sacrifice animal after animal after animal. And when the blood of that lamb was shed, it appeased the sin issue that we carried because God is holy. So you see what happened back in those days for generation after generation after generation. The innocent animal, the life was taken to really appease the holiness of God. So that you and I might be forgiven. Now let me just take it very, very quickly, just a little further. It says they overcame him, they overcame the devil by the blood of the what? Lamb. It's a capital L and it's the same in the scripture. Remember John the Baptist was baptizing hundreds and hundreds of people in the Jordan River? He baptized them, baptized them, baptized them. And while he was baptizing people, he saw somebody coming down the dusty road. Remember that? He saw somebody coming, and John the Baptist, Baptist means baptizer. We'd like to claim him for the denomination, but we can't. It just means John the Baptizer. So as he was baptizing people, he looked up and he said this. He said, "Behold, somebody's coming, walking down the dirt road. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Big statement, isn't it? Behold means he was, all those people, he was saying, look, look, here he is. That's him. That's him. Who was walking down the dusty road? Jesus. Jesus. And as Jesus came down, you see that dusty road, John looked up and said, there he is. There's the Lamb of God. There's the one who's going to be sacrificed, who's going to die on that cross, so that he might become the substitute for the sins of humanity. And we believe that's what happened. We believe that when Jesus was crucified, the sins of humanity were laid on his shoulders. And the one who never sinned became sin for us. And thank God, the sufficiency of Calvary is proved by the resurrection of Christ. So it says here, when the pressure is on, and it will be, if you're going to follow God and live for God, there's going to be pressure on you. Not everyone accepts God. Not everyone believes in God. Not everyone accepts this gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to have to be able to stand. And John, who wrote the book of Revelation, he said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I want to mention a couple of things about that right now. When I was in high school, now that was a number of years ago. Do you want to know how old I am? I'm not telling you. But when I was in high school, I don't think they do it now. Maybe it's good they don't know do it now. But there was a club at high school called Cadets. Anybody remember Cadets in high school? Good, at least three of you do. There were the Cadets in high school, and of course they were kind of, you could kind of understand how to be a soldier. So they would teach you to march. And one thing they used to teach you to do is put a blindfold on and how to assemble a rifle. Now, I don't think they do that today. Maybe they do. I don't know. And you had to have a blindfold, and you learned to assemble that rifle blindfolded so that you could be ready for action. You know, I don't believe anyone is to come to Christ by force. We come by faith. We come by faith. All the Bible says to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. It's not force, it's not coercion, it's simply faith and trust in the Lord. Because Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But we used to be able to assemble that rifle blindfolded. In other words, we need to know how to use our spiritual weapons. Not those weapons, but spiritual weapons. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul tells us this. He says, we don't have weapons like the world has. That's not how believers in Christ battle. We don't battle with those weapons. But he said, we do have some weapons. One of them is prayer, of course. We become people who pray to God. He intervenes. But he says, here's one spiritual weapon that we have. He says, we have the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean? I don't know how many of you here have by faith trusted Christ. Have you? Has there been? Sometimes some of us know the exact day that we said, oh Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Thank you that your blood was shed to cleanse me of my sins. I remember in the 1960s, that's when I trusted Christ. My life has never been the same since. It became personal. You see? It became personal. I came to know Christ and he came to know me. And then I began my journey with the Lord. And you know something? When the devil attacks me, which he will attack us all. When the devil attacks me, I always run to the cross by faith. Spiritually. And I remind the enemy that I have been protected and I am protected by what the Lord did that day on the cross. Amen? I'm safe by the blood of the Lamb. I'm safe by the cross. It's kind of like we stand on a high ground, like kind of military operation. If you can get the high ground, you are secure. And it's like the cross is the high ground. And I'm safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, since the Lord Jesus Christ died for me, that's my high ground. That's my secure ground. That's the place from which I have victory in the Lord. One thing I love about reading the Bible is that we learn quite quickly that if we know Christ in a personal way, we are victorious in the Lord. We're not hoping that Christ one day will be victorious. We know he is by his sacrifice on the cross. So one way we overcome the enemy when he comes to attack us, we just claim the power of the blood of the Lord. We just say to the enemy, I've already been to the cross. I believe the Lord took my place that day. There's no justifiable accusation any longer. I am secure in Christ. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It's a position that we have in the Lord. I don't have full time today, but let me say this. It's always good to study 1 John chapter 1. 1 John is not the end of the Bible, but it gets close to the end. 1 John chapter 1 says this, if we walk in the light, do you hear what I said? It's the word of God. If we walk in the light, as God is in the light, because there's no darkness in God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all of our sins. So there's not only that position by which we are protected at the cross, but there's the daily cleansing of things that we should not do that we do. A present cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. Do you know Christ today? Has it become personal with you? And then it says this, they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. I think I have it up there. By their testimony. By the way, that word testimony, we get the word martyr out of it. It doesn't strictly mean martyr, but it means if we're going to overcome the enemy, we need to be living for the Lord. Amen? Our testimony, that's our witness. I often challenge you and I, when we leave this building today and we go out into this city, and I know we've been through a lot of heartache and trials and troubles this year, 2016, but even in the midst of the troubles, God has used hundreds of you to minister to others, to help others. So even in the midst of the pressure cooker of this 2016, so much good has come out of it. And the city pulled together, and people pulled together. And we've been able to minister, and we've been ministered to, work both ways. And I continue to be amazed that as the fire circled this city, and I don't like to make pronouncements, and maybe I shouldn't, but I think we were under a spiritual attack, personally. But I don't like to say, we don't know, do we? But even under this attack, not one life was lost. Isn't that amazing? A couple of people lost their lives about 2 or 3 days later, and we prayed for them, and we know that's a lot of grief. But it almost seems to me like under attack, but God delivered. It's absolutely miraculous that 90,000 people can get out of a city in a few hours and nobody loses their life. You see, when the enemy attacks, God comes in. And I believe there's been a lot of unity built in this city just because of that pressure that we have been under. So it says here, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. Go to the cross. God loved us so much that He gave His Son to become our substitute. He rose on the third day, so He's living, He's victorious. Go to the cross. And we overcome the enemy by our testimony. You know something? When we are dismissed here in a few minutes, we will go out into the schools and the community and the shops and the businesses and our home. We will be scattered all over this city. And listen, we who claim to be followers of Christ, there should be a difference. Amen? There should be a difference in the way we speak, the lives we live, the heart of love, the compassion, the caring. We are followers of Christ. And when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you get a pretty good idea of how He responded to life, how He responded to people. And I've said it before, and I will say it again. Every one of us in this auditorium today, we will touch 11 people's lives this week, even without trying. On the average, every one of us will have some interaction with about 11 people. Isn't that amazing? That's hundreds of people. Hundreds and hundreds of people this week. What will they see in us? What will they hear from us? What will they sense as we come into their presence? Will they have any concept that we are followers of our Lord? They overcame Him, you see, by the blood of the Lamb. They went to the cross and they're secure there. They overcame Him by the word of their testimony. And the heart of our testimony is the Lord died on the cross, and on the third day He rose again, and that has made a significant difference in our lives. And may God help us this week. Oh, my. You know, as pastor here, I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you. But I desire to live my Christian experience in such a way that nobody will be able to point at my point a finger and say, "You mean that's the pastor of that church? You mean that's him? He doesn't live for God. He doesn't exemplify God." I've been in this for about 4 decades. I have never wanted anyone in any city I've been in. And thank God, by His grace, I believe God's protected me. They'd be able to point the finger and say, "You mean that's a Christian?" They don't act like it. You see, we overcome the enemy, and we are used by God in victory. And we bring hope, and we bring peace, and we bring reconciliation to people in this city. If our testimony is anchored in holiness, and the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, God help us this week to be exemplary followers of Christ, no matter where we've been strategically placed. I don't care if it's in an excavator or whether it's in a fancy office. We need to live the life that God would have us to live. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by testimony. And then finally, don't you love it when the pastor says finally? Doesn't mean a thing. It says here in verse 11, and here's the third way. Here's the third way. Blood of the Lamb, I bend to the cross, and I stay close to the cross. It's not about me. It's about what the Lord did for me. I seek by the grace of God to have a witness that honors my Lord who gave his life for me and who rose. And then the third way, and they did not love their lives. Here is it. Did we get it? And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to what? There's followers of Christ that are losing their lives all over the world today. In Africa, I read about it weekly. In Africa, followers of Christ are losing their lives simply because they're followers of Christ. In the Middle East, Indonesia, pockets of South America, East India, right today, while we are in this comfortable auditorium, there will be followers of Christ who will lose their lives today. You see, this world is not our home. We're passing through. There's a greater place coming. But unfortunately, there are some Christians this day who are called upon to either reject Jesus or lose their lives. You don't know what they're saying? They're saying, "My life is in Christ. I'm a follower of the Lord. And if God delivers me, He delivers me. But if He doesn't, I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to deny my Lord." How can we deny our Lord? I'm not going to deny Him. And many lose their lives. But you know what Jesus said? "I'm the resurrection and the life. Even though we may die physically, we will live what? We will live eternally." So some of these people in the last day, they will overcome the enemy. They will say, "No, I cannot surrender my faith in Christ." And they will lose their lives. But they shall immediately awaken in the presence of their Lord. Amen. So you know what that tells me? You know what it tells me? Sometimes it's going to be difficult following God. Sometimes if you follow the Lord, you're going to be misunderstood. I'm going to be, you know, blamed for something. Some people just won't get it. You know, there's a song that was written many years ago, a little song. I can play it on the piano if you want, but I won't do it. It's a little song that says, "I have decided," remember that one? "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me," remember? "The world behind me, no turning back, no turning back." We will have opportunities this week by the things we say, the lives we live, the generosity of heart. we will have opportunities this week to be able to serve others in Christ's name. Sometimes you may be ridiculed, misunderstood, ostracized somewhat, but just leave that in the hands of God. Just leave that with the Lord. Because God understands. He sees what you're going through. So my dear friends, we've been through it quite a lot in the last few months. There's going to be a difficult time coming before the Lord returns, second advent. And how do we stand in victory? How do we stand with hope? Well, they overcome the enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Stay close to the cross of Christ. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. Have a good witness for Christ this week. It's worth it. And then it says here, when they faced the great challenge, life or death, they decided, well, I'm not going to surrender. I belong to the Lord. I'm going to live for the Lord. And if need be, I'm going to die for the Lord. So God help us this week. There's a scripture in Zechariah chapter 3, and I'll end with this. Zechariah chapter 3. He's an Old Testament prophet, Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 3, Joshua the high priest came before the leader in that day. Joshua the high priest, he had on kind of dirty clothes. His robes, you see the righteous robes, the religious robes, they appeared in Zechariah 3 to be dirty. You imagine trying to be a priest and your robes are filthy. And the Bible says the enemy came along and talked to an angel there, and the enemy said, look at Joshua, not the military guy, by the way, but look at this Joshua, this high priest. Look, he's filthy. And he's going to minister to you. And the devil said, get rid of him. The Bible says the angel of God came up to Joshua and speaking on behalf of God. And the angel of God said to Joshua, said to the angel, just take his old dirty clothes off, you know, take them off. And God said, put a new robe on him. I think it's a beautiful illustration of Jesus and what he's done for us. We come to the Lord with kind of dirty, all have sinned, right? We're kind of dirty. And we come to God who's so holy. And what the Lord Jesus Christ does is he takes off our old dirty garments and he clothes us in the righteousness of the Lord. So you know something? I'll leave you with this today. Since I've trusted Christ, I have been clothed in a beautiful robe of righteousness. Now when God looks from heaven down on earth and sees Les Summers, he sees me clothed in the holiness of Christ. My filter is always Jesus. I'm clothed in his righteousness. What a beautiful thing this week to be able to step out into this public world. And we are clothed in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. What about you today? Would you trust him? Would you put your faith in him? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your great love that you've given us, especially in light of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray this week as we get out into this community, help us to so live that people know that we know you and you know us. So, Lord, just guide us through this week. Help us to be all that you would have us to be. And we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand, please? We'll sing the final song.